Good morning, Christ Church. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We are so thankful for every mom out there who is loving their kiddos, every mama who raised us and has gone before us. We're thankful for every woman who has stepped in and filled the role of a mom and the aunts and the ladies in our life who've given us so much. If you get a second today, you just find one of them, you hug them, you tell them something special and how much you appreciate them. I am eternally grateful that God gave me the mom that I have who helped me be the girl that I am today. I'm going to say a prayer for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you so much. I thank you that you are such an incredible God who has such a great design for our life and our families and our church and our communities. I pray, Father, that you would help us to learn how to keep turning to you again and again and again as we do life together. I pray, Father, that we would remember who you are, that we would remember Christ, and in him we would find hope, strength, and courage to face this world and be the men and women you've called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Memory is a funny thing. I read a line from John Green, I don't remember how many years ago, that said, you don't remember what happened, what you remember becomes what happened. And I thought that was just so true. So in my life, we're about to finish a full year of doing homeschool with our girls because it's a pandemic, and in a pandemic, you make it work. I never thought we would homeschool, but that was the choice that worked for us this year. And as we come up to the end of it, we just have one goal. We are going to finish strong. And we keep saying this again, like, we've got this, we're almost there, the end is in sight, we are going to finish strong. And so to, like, encourage us, like, I went back and looked at all the pictures from this last year and what we did and the places that we went, and something funny happened. Like, as I was remembering all of these adventures that we got to go on together and the fun things that we did and the places we visited and the silly moments and the exploring, as I looked at those pictures, I'm like, you know, if you just looked on this picture, you would think we had an incredible year. Like, you would think we were all stars. You would think it was, like, the best year in the history of ever, because those are the pictures I took. I never took a picture on the days that just trying to get children to finish an assignment felt like a huge lifetime achievement. I didn't take a picture on the day when everybody was falling apart. I never took pictures of the tears and the fight and the stress that went into some of the days. Look, fifth grade math is not for the faint of heart, and I didn't take pictures on the days where fifth grade math almost defeated us. It was real. Those days happened. And if you only look by the pictures we took, it looks amazing and incredible. And so I had this kind of, like, epiphany. Like, I can either remember the year based on all of these pictures that we had taken, or based on some of those really difficult moments and the challenges that we had to come. Both are true. I get to choose what I remember from this year. And I think as moms, like, we get to be the memory keepers for our family. I had, when both of my girls were born, these baby books that we made. And I was, like, super committed. I'm like, we're filling them out, and we're going to keep track of all of the big things that happen in their life. At, you know, like, the first word, the first steps, the first tooth, the first haircut. You tie the little ribbon and a little lock of their baby hair. First time they got sick, the doctor appointments, how they grew up, the silly things they liked to say, the toys they played with, the friends that they had, and what they liked to do. And I mean, of course, there's like a bajillion pictures. To buy an external hard drive just to back up all of the pictures, because apparently I like to take lots of pictures. When they turned 3, we started doing this 20 questions we asked them every year on their birthday. And it's so fun now to, like, go back and see, like, what things have changed and what things are exactly the same, because it's their personalities. And we track the highlights, these moments that are lovely and we don't want to forget as the years go by so quickly. But I didn't write down all of the moments, right? Like, the sleepless nights that were exhausting and never-ending didn't make it into the memory book, or the temper tantrums that they threw, or maybe mom threw some days, didn't make it into there, or we didn't keep track of how many times I was thrown up on or yelled at or the receiver of all the big emotions that were being felt. We didn't take pictures of the hard days that we weren't sure we were actually going to survive. It was a blessing that we did. We didn't take pictures every time we were at the doctor's or the nights that we spent in the hospital just desperately hoping that the medicine would help the girls be healthy. And all are true, right? All are the memories, the good and the bad and the highs and the lows. Someday my heart feels so full of the joyous moments that we've had that it feels like bursting. Sometimes I know you felt this too. Other days, our mind just won't let us forget every heartbreaking, hard moment that's kind of left a dent in our soul. And the memories of just mean and hurtful things that have happened over the years, or me, I've had so many wonderful things said to me, and it's crazy to me how easy I can forget the nice things and still remember something in middle school that was mean that somebody said to me and made me feel embarrassed and stupid in front of a crowd, right? Or the memories of the mistakes that we've made, like, oh, I wish I could forget that and I wish it didn't happen. I've had incredible days where brilliant, life-changing things happen. But I'll tell you what, at 3 o'clock in the morning when I can't sleep, I'm not remembering the brilliant things. I'm remembering the embarrassing things, the things that I wish I could get rid of, or the terrible choices that I've made, or the thing I wish I hadn't said, or the thing I wish I could take back. The things that we cling to sometimes that we can't forget, or the things that we wish we hadn't done, or the things that we had wish never happened. Memories are these funny, beautiful, and brutal things that we carry along with us. And I wonder, as we think about our memories, if we've ever stopped to think about, what does God remember? When God looks at my life, when God looks at all of the days that led up to where we are to this moment, and he sees everything that happened, what does he remember? Is he focusing on that highlight reel, right? Like the beautiful pictures that show up on the front page of our social media and the things that we post to like keep track of the moments. Is he looking at like those really good moments, the great days where like everything went right and everything was said right? Or is he focusing on the hard moments, the mistakes, the bad choices, the missteps, the regrets, the moments that I'm just like, oh, my head hangs and I just feel that shame and guilt bubbling up. From all of our life, when God looks at us, what does God remember? And as we ask that question, I find it so interesting. King David thought about this too, and he actually took this idea to God, and this is what he says to him in Psalm 25. In verse 6, he says, "Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord." So David asked God, like, hey, God, when you look at me, could you just remember your steadfast love? Like, don't remember my sins. Remember your goodness. Don't remember my transgressions. Like, please, could you just remember your mercy and not my mistakes? And if I'm being totally honest, it never has occurred to me to ask God to not remember my bad days. Like, I've asked God to forgive me. I've told God I'm sorry for things that I've gotten wrong, but it never popped into my head to say, like, hey, God, remember how rough Tuesday was? Like, could we just wipe that one off the slate? Like, let's just not remember that one. Is that cool with you? Like, God, if you could just remember it didn't happen, like, maybe pretend it didn't exist. I love that because David knew God. He had the confidence to go to him and ask him to remember not his mistakes or his worst days, but instead to remember God's own goodness and love. And friends, David reminds us in these words that we have that same confidence today. We can all turn to God confidently just as David did. In fact, because of Jesus Christ, here's what we know. That what Christ did on the cross, because of that sacrifice that he made, when God looks at us, when he looks at every one of our mistakes and all the things, the mess, the thing, God sees Christ in us. When God looks at us, he's seeing what Christ has already done. Because when Christ went to the cross, he took all of that mess with him. He took all of the mess and he died for us, and those things died on the cross with him as well. He took everything that we had ever done that separates us from God and everything that not just we had done but will do in the future. And they all got nailed to the cross with him that day. every bad choice, every sin, every regret, every worst, no good, bad, terrible day, every misstep or mistake or guilt or shame, everything broken, Christ took it on himself when he gave his life on the cross. And what he did was this incredible exchange. He exchanged all of those messy things for what is best in him. He died and gave his life that we might live him. He took the curse on himself that we might be blessed. He was wounded that we might be healed. He emptied himself, becoming poor, that we might become rich. He took sin on him and carried all the weight of sin that we might become righteousness. He became weak that through him we might become strong. He took and exchanged what's best in him for what is worst in us. He left heaven, the beautifulness, the splendor of heaven, and came to the messiness of our broken world that one day we might leave earth and join him in heaven. Christ did all of these things to heal all our souls. All the shame, all the guilt that we've carried with us, Christ took it on himself when he died on the cross for us. That now in him, knowing him, loving him, believing in him, we have this opportunity for a new life, a life that can be lived with hope and courage. And when he rose from the dead and he rose from the grave, something new and right and good might rise up within us as well. Friends, when God looks at us, God sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God remembers his own mercy and his goodness that are never ending. They are constant and they do not change. And just as David remembered that about God and turned to God confidently, friends, we can depend on that today. Not just for this day or our past days, but every day going forward. When God sees you and I, he sees the love, mercy, and goodness that Jesus Christ has for us when he went to the cross on our behalf. He remembers the sacrifice that Christ made for us that we might be made whole, that what feels broken might find healing, that where we are hurting, he meets us with comfort, that where we feel lost, we find a new direction in him. David knew this. He also knew that as far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how great God's steadfast love is towards us. That as far as the east is from the west, that's how far we are separated from everything. We are removed through Christ from everything we've gotten wrong. That as a parent loves their kids and wants best for them, God loves us, his kids, and wants best for us too. He knows us. He loves us. He's not put off by our worst days. He's not thrown off by our messiest mistakes. We are his, and he loves us. So when we ask, what does God remember? God remembers that he made all of us, you, me, everyone in his image, that we were created with value and dignity, that we are more than our most terrible days. He remembers his promises. He remembers his goodness. He remembers his love. If you go through the Bible, this idea of God remembering, it shows up over 200 times. It's a powerful concept about who God is. God remembers his promises and he keeps them. God remembers his kids and he finds them and he loves them and he brings them back home to him. What God remembers is his goodness and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we forget that, and that's not what we remember. Some of us have been holding on to memories that we should have let go of a long, long time ago. Some of us have been clinging to hurts that God wants to heal. Some of us have been holding on to shame that Christ already went to the cross to forgive. Some of us have been holding on to anger and bitterness and resentment, and God wants to overcome these things with his love. Some of us have been holding on to things we think, man, this is gonna make me happy. This is gonna fill the void. It's gonna put the stopgap in the desperation I feel. And it's eating us away on the inside because nothing can fill that God-shaped hole but him. So here's what I want to ask us today. What do you need to let go of? What do you need to give back to God? What have you been holding on to that God wanted you to let go a long, long time ago? What do you need to release from your life and your heart? Where do you need to stop and just think about it for a second and see yourself the way God sees you? His son, his daughter, who he loves fiercely, who he values so much that he sent his own son into the world that we might know him and find him. What have you been holding on to that God wanted you to release long ago? Where have you sat down and set up camp in an area you were only supposed to pass through? When it comes to remembering, the first place we start is there are some things we need to let go of. There are some places we need to release so that God can come in, sweep out that space, and make room for so much better. Henry Cloud, in his book called 9 Things You Simply Must Do, had a great idea about this. He said, successful people do not hang on to bad stuff for long. And he said, there's two different areas, two different levels of what we've got to clean out and let go of. He said, the first one is like, think of it like a periodic spring cleaning in our lives. I don't know what your home is like, but maybe like every once in a while there's like the big itch and everything has to get cleaned and everything has to get disinfected and everything has to get organized. Happens in our house like big ways, like maybe once or twice a year. And what happens is in your homes, you got to get rid of stuff that really aren't you're not using them anymore. They're just taking up space, collecting dust, and just in the way of everything else. So you go out and you clean and you get rid of the cobwebs and you like get in the like nitty-gritty corners that don't get cleaned regularly and you sweep everything up. Well, Dr. Cloud's point is we got to do that in our lives every once in a while. We have all of these things that aren't even like innately bad or negative or terrible. They're just not productive. They're just not helpful. They're just taking up space in an already cluttered life and a cluttered heart, and we got to get rid of some of them, and we got to clean up because they're taking up space that really is costing us at another level. And then he pushes it a little bit deeper and said, on the second level, you got to face things that are really, truly negative in your life, and you've either got to fix them or you got to figure out that they can't be fixed and let them go. He says you got to like dig down deep and like dig it up and discover it and bring it out into the light and say it's not allowed to have overtime parking here. He uses the analogy of when you have a bad tooth. So if you have a really bad cavity, you've got two choices. You can either dig out the unhealthiness and fill it with the filling, or you can pull the tooth. There's two choices you have. You can either fix it or you can pull it. And he said, pulling the tooth, getting rid of the painful problem, has the added benefit of making room for a positive alternative. He said, there are new things that actually have hope for the future in our lives that can't appear until we get rid of what was taking up the space that the new things need. He said, this is a wise way for us to look at life. Put an end to the negative things that are using up space, time, energy, and emotion. Because these unresolved negative things are a drain on our lives, and they take away from that which really has life. And I thought that's such a healthy analogy, because that's what happens in our memories. That's what happens in our heart. We've got all of these negative things in there, and we haven't cleaned them out in a really long time. And they've been taking up space, and they've drained our energy, and they've drained our heart, and they've drained our hope. They've drained our faith, and we've let them bleed us dry, and it's time to let go and open up our hearts for new hopeful things in Christ. It's time to give our hearts freedom from all these things that have been holding us captive and find this new way forward, a new way of remembering. So I want to start with this challenge. When you think about your life, find some space this week. find some time and say, what do I need to let go of? Spend some time with God and really think through what are the things that are taking up space. They've parked and they've been there for too long. And what do I need to let go of so that I can create the new space and the new energy for the healthy, right things? And as we focus on what we let go of, we get to spend some time and energy on what are we going to replace it with? Here's what I know about habits. It's not enough to just say, I want to quit something, right? Like, I just want to stop having this habit. If you've ever tried to change a behavior or change a habit before, it's not enough to say, like, I'm going to lose 15 pounds and will myself into losing 15 pounds. If that were true, everybody would lose all of the weight that they need to lose. Instead, bad habits need to be replaced with something else. Have you ever tried to tell yourself, like, I'm not going to think about this? It's like the worst thing you could do, because as soon as you say that, you think about it like 500 more times because you just put the idea back into your head. Like, it's not enough just to say, okay, I'm not going to think about this anymore. I'm not, once I know what the negative things are, I'm going to let go of it, and I got to replace it with something else. I got to replace it with something that's healthier and better for our lives. And friends, some of us have created a habit of clinging to the unhealthy, negative things in our life. We've lived with the pain and the shame and the guilt and the hurt for so long, they feel like they're just a normal part of living. We've had it so much in our lives that we're not really sure we can let go of them. We're so used to thinking the worst, we're not sure, like, how to do any different. But the best way to change any habit is to replace it with something else. So instead of doing this, now I've got the space and energy to do this instead. And as we let go of the old memories, the old ways of life, we replace them with new and healthier choices. So I'm going to give us three things that I think if we could try replacing some of those older negative things with, we'll see a huge return, a huge productiveness in what we think about and what our memories direct us to. The first one is the promises of God. I think that God has made beautiful, powerful promises in His Word. And if we memorized a few of them, if we spent time thinking about a few of them, they get to be the thing that we replace the ugly things in our head with. Because what happens is some of the memories are ugly. Some of them are hurtful. Some of them are things we wish we didn't have to live through or experience, and we just don't want to think about them anymore. If we're really honest, some of the most hurtful things running through our mind are the things we say to ourselves, the memories of who we have said that we are that just have never been true. And instead, when we let go of those things, what we're going to say is, okay, the next time that loop plays through my head and it's all the terrible things I'm used to saying to myself, or the shame tape of I'm not good enough, I'm never going to be good enough, who do I think I am that I would even try, right? When those things pop up into our head, we say no. That's like a red flag that says, this is not true. I let go of that idea. Actually, Christ died so that I didn't have to live in that truth. Instead, here's the truth I'm going to live in. This is the promise that God has made me. And we say those things over and over and over again, and we drown out all those other hurtful, negative voices. And maybe they've even been things that have been said to you, terrible things that you've clung to that people told you who you are. Replace them with the promises of God and who He says we are. I'm going to give us a couple. If you want to jot one of these down, just jot down the text and you can copy and paste it for yourself later. Isaiah 40:29. Here's a promise from God. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. When we are exhausted and feel like we have nothing left, I get to remember the promise that God gives strength to the weary and He helps me when I am weak. That's a promise I can cling to. Or Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Can you tell I've needed some strength verses this year? Like, I've needed to hear God say, you are going to soar like an eagle. And I'm like, I don't think I can do that. I feel like being on 2 feet today is a victory. And I'm like, no, God says I can soar like an eagle. I can run and not be faint. I can't jog and not be faint, so this is a good promise for me. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Man, the next time you face something hard and you feel like it's just going to overwhelm you and sweep you away, you remember this promise from God that God will not let you be carried away, that he is with us. Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm. You can read the whole thing and memorize it. It's such a thing to go back to. Every verse is powerful. But what I've remembered is Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Or Philippians 4:6-7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Man, some of us have needed this peace. We've needed the overwhelming peace of God that transcends everything else to comfort our hearts in hard times. Here's one of my favorites, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. All the grace I need to be successful right now, God's already given me. Everything I need to do the next right thing, God has abundantly poured out into our lives. And let me give you one more. Romans 8:31-32. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I mean, these are just a couple, but they're beautiful promises of God we can cling to when the night feels dark. They are promises of God that we can replace the ugly words that live in our heads. They're beautiful promises of God that we can turn to again and again and again, and we can replace the things we've let go of with his voice and his truth and his promises. Here's the second one we can do. We can replace what we've let go of with gratitude. Something powerful happens as we practice gratitude. Every day, challenge yourself to write down 5 things that you're grateful for. Here's what you're going to find. As you focus on what you're grateful for, some days are easier than others. Listen, I've been doing this, and I did it all through this pandemic. I started it, thank God, beforehand. And someday, I'm like, I can find 5 things to be grateful for. I will sit here. I don't care how long it takes. But when you start focusing on what you have to be grateful for, it changes your perspective. You see what you're looking for, and you find it. And if I'm convinced the world is terrible, everything I see is going to affirm that belief. The world is terrible. The next thing I see, I'm like, yep, I knew it. The world is a horrible place. People are terrible. If I focus on what I have to be grateful for, I'm going to see things to be grateful for. My focus is going to shift, and all of those negative things that need pushed out, I'm going to replace them with a grateful heart that looks for the good around us. And gratitude reminds us what is good in our life. Happy people are grateful people, if you want the truth. The more we focus on being grateful, the more joy we experience because we shift our focus and we see where God is working. We remember what God has done, and it reminds us of the good and the joy that still exists to be found. And then here's my last one for us, prayer. There are moments where when we let go of things and we're trying to replace it with something else, we don't feel like we have the tools in our toolkit, and it's just a simply turning to God and saying, "Dear Jesus, please help me here." We just finished the week of prayer. I'm thankful. It was such a blessing for everybody who came in, and we prayed here together, and we prayed with each other and for each other, and I'm so always blessed and touched by the hearts of people as we pray together and turn to God and plead with God. Prayer is one of those things we can do again and again and again. And just as David turned to God, friends, so can you and I. We can turn to God when the memories are so sharp we don't know what to do with them. We can invite God to be part of our life and ask for his help, ask for his peace, ask for his strength, ask for courage and grace. Ask him to replace the memories. Sometimes I want to let go and my mind is clinging to it and I can't let go. And I got to plead with God, God, I know that you remember your goodness. Help me to remember that too. God, I know you remember your love. Help me to remember that as well. We can turn to God and ask him for the strength that we need. We can turn to God and ask him to fill us with the love and mercy and goodness that he so freely gives us. We can turn to God and pray that his voice would be louder than any other voice we've let live in our heart. We can turn to God and be reminded, we aren't doing this on our own. We have a God who is for us, and he is on his side. And we can start praying today that his memory, what he remembers, would be great in us as we turn to him. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray as we focus on what an awesome God that you are and what you remember, that we could, just as David pled, would you remember not our worst? Would you instead remember your goodness, your steadfast love, and your mercy? I pray, Father, you would help us to identify the things in our heart that we need to let go of. The anger, the pride, the guilt, the shame, all of the hurt. Help us to find the right things to root out of our life and let go of. And I pray, Father, that in that space, we would replace it with your promises, your truth, your goodness, and your love. I pray, Father, that we would replace it with gratitude and find what is good and best in you and in this world that you've given us. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to be people who pray, that we would just be people who turn to you again and again and again, knowing that you will meet us here when we do. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.